All right, Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Let's stand together, please, as we honor the Word of God. Let me read these seven verses, and then I want to bring you a little message, like I mentioned this morning, entitled, How to Be Close. How to Be Close. Here's what the Bible says. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds, and in defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. And let's pray together. Father, thank you for each one that's here tonight. Thank you for the blessings of the service already, for the testimonies, for the singing, for the specials, for the sweet, sweet spirit we feel in this place, not only on Sunday night all the time, but it just seems to be stronger on Sunday night. And I pray now that as we come to this part of the service where we open up your word and hear it preached, that you would use me as your messenger, you would say the words through my mouth that you once said, that folks would be alert and would listen, and that you would work in our life tonight and accomplish what you know needs to be accomplished in every life. If there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ, I pray tonight would be the night that they decide to receive him. And Father, there's many Christians here, and you just work in our life. Teach us the truth of your word. Make us better Christians. Make us better representatives of you. Help us to uplift Christ tonight, for it's in his name we pray. Amen. Many of you know this week that I got to spend this past week with Debbie's mom and dad. We did. And they celebrated their 54th anniversary on Friday. And so we got to go out to eat Friday afternoon, and then we left down there. But whenever I get away from work and I get to be on vacation, so to speak, and I always enjoy spending our vacations with Debbie's dad because, you know, he was a pastor for a long, long time. And a lot of the time we just sit around, we talk about the Bible. And we just talk about different verses, and I pick his brain a little bit. I got four or five sermons when I was down there, and I'll be preaching the next few weeks. But I also have time to think more deeply about things. And I had some time this week to think about our church. And I did something that I would not encourage you to do. In fact, I had to rebuke myself before I got very far in doing it. But I got to comparing our churches to others in the association and others in the city. And here's some of the things that I thought about. We don't have the best preacher. You could go to other, now just stay with me. You could go to other churches and you can hear better preaching. We don't have the nicest building. We have a nice building. But if I was going to change it, I'd make the bathrooms bigger. I'd make the fellowship hall bigger. I'd put Sunday school rooms on the first floor. We have a nice building, but it's not the nicest. We don't have a Sunday school class for every age. We have a lot of ages mixed together. We don't have programs for the boys and the girls, for the men, for the women. And we don't do plays or dramas. I'm looking forward to our cantata. I think it's going to be good. But we can't stage big productions like other churches sometimes do. And I didn't start out thinking negative, but I almost ended up that way. But before I got too far into my negative thoughts, the Lord brought something to my heart and to my mind. And it was this. We have something that no other church in our association or in our city has any more than we do. I mean, we may be smaller than some. We may not have the nicest building or all the organizations or all the activities that others can take part in. But there's one thing that we stand right up there with the rest of them. And in fact, I think we exceed some of them in this thing that I'm going to talk about tonight. And that's the love that we have for one another. in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You know that's the famous chapter that talks about faith, hope, and charity. Charity is another word for love. And Paul says, faith and hope are good, but the greatest of these three is love. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, that ye love one another. And tonight, as I was thinking about our church, and I thought about you, I thought about individuals this week. I have a list that I keep in my calendar of everybody that comes to our church. And when I have time, like I did this week, I just go down that list. And I think about people, I call them to mind, I pray for them, I thank God for them. And my desire as your pastor is to love you. That's my desire. I know that sometimes my messages are disjointed and they don't make sense. And you'll listen and say it was good anyway. But I've never set out to be a good preacher. Never wanted to be a good preacher. Many of you are kind when you compliment me on my preaching. But I've never wanted to be a good preacher. I've wanted to be a preacher that loves his people. And tonight, I'm gonna share with you something that the Lord laid on my heart last Sunday night as we were driving down to Arkansas. Debbie was in the seat next to me snoring, and I was thinking about you and about the services and about everything that went on last week. And I was thanking God that we loved one another. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, how could we love each other more? How could we be closer? And so tonight I want to share with you six things that he brought to my mind last Sunday night about how you can be closer to anybody in your life. How you could be closer to your spouse, how you could be closer to your children, how you could be closer to your parents, how you could be closer to your Sunday school teacher and Sunday school teachers, how you could be closer to those that are in your class, how you could be closer to your grandchildren, how I can be closer to you, how you can be closer to me, how we can, like Paul said, he said to the Philippians, I have you in my heart. What he was saying, now he was in prison when he was writing this, he was 600 miles away from them, but he says, I have you in my heart, I love you. And Paul mentioned six things in the first seven verses that we read from Philippians, that I think that if we would practice, we could be closer to anybody and everybody. And I mentioned this morning, you might say, well, there's some people that I just can't get close to. We just have different personalities. We just don't mix. I just can't get close to them. Well, what you're saying is you're not willing to do these six things that I'm going to talk about tonight to or with or for that person. Because I submit to you tonight, you could be close to anybody if you're willing to do these six things. Let me mention to you real quickly. Number one, you want to be closer to somebody. You want to be close to somebody. Then number one, serve them. Find a way to serve them. Paul starts out his letter. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all. To all. You might say, well, he was writing that letter to all. Yeah, that's one way you could take it. But you could also take it that Paul was saying, I want to be a servant to everybody at the church at Philippi. Now, he started the church. He founded the church. But he wasn't their boss. He wasn't their master. When he was there, as you read the letter and you read others that he wrote to the churches, Paul was a servant to the churches that he started at Philippi, at Colossae, at Thessalonica, all the different places. He was a servant. He found a way to serve the people that called him pastor. He found a way to do things for them, to help carry their burdens, to be like a servant to them. And one of the ways that you get close to another person is to find a way to serve them. Say, well, Brother Darrell, what do you mean? I mean it in just about any way that you can think about. When you think about serving your spouse, when you think about doing something for that one you're married to, My mind just races tonight, and I don't have time to mention all the things that are on my heart. But I don't need to. You can think about ways to serve that one you call husband or that one you call wife. Every day, you ought to find a way to serve them. I mean, maybe it's as simple as taking a chore that they normally do and say, "I'm going to do it today. I'm going to take care of this for you today." Yeah, I know it's you sort of taking it on, and I don't want to be chauvinist tonight. I don't want to say that, you know, it's women's work to do the dishes and take care of the house, because I don't want to get into that tonight. But you have jobs or tasks that you take on that are predominantly yours. A way to serve your spouse is say, "Hey, I know this is a task that you normally do. I want to do it for you today. I want to serve you in that way." Children, you can get closer to your parents. You can get closer to your parents in this same way. Find a task that they normally do and say, without them asking, without them prodding, "Hey, Mom, hey, Dad, I want to do this for you today." Just, and again, don't do it to get glory to yourself. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that at all. Don't tell them. Just do it. Just do it. Find a way to serve them. Brother Vern's son got married yesterday afternoon. Barry came up from Florida. Married Becky. She's been to church with Vern and Helen a couple times. And we had the wedding. And I told Brother Vern, "I want to do it for you." I know Barry a little bit, and I would have done it for Barry, but I did it for Brother Vern, because I can serve him in that way. And that makes me love him more. When you call me and you ask me to go to the hospital, I want to be there because I love you. But I want to go because in that way I serve you. And I think we ought to look for ways to serve one another. I think we ought to look for ways that we could lift one another's burdens. That's how you get close to somebody. You serve them. Number two, you remember them. Paul said in verse 3, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." Now, this wasn't a haphazard remembrance. This wasn't about, you know, Paul was just thinking, he said, "Oh, yeah," and a person comes across his mind and he said, "Hey, I remember you." Paul remembered people on purpose. He had a time and he had a list where, and when that time came, he went to that list and said, "Hey, I'm going to think about these people. It's on my schedule. It's in my routine. I'm not going to wait till just some random chance brings a person across my mind and remember them." In fact, I read somewhere this week in an old Reader's Digest, if you don't remember somebody on purpose, you'll forget them by accident. If you don't remember somebody on purpose, you'll forget them by accident. And I think if you want to get close to somebody, you ought to have a scheduled time. It ought to be on your schedule. You ought to try to do it the same time every day or the same time every week where you have on your calendar, "Hey, remember that person." And I would say to every husband, you ought to have a time on your schedule where you remember your wife. And I would say to all the wives here tonight, you ought to have a time on your calendar where you just do nothing else but stop and think about your husband. You say, "Well, I see him every day. I talk to him every day." Well, I know, and you should do that. But I'm also saying that you ought to have a time on your calendar that when that time comes, what you do on purpose, by schedule, by design, is just set and think about your husband and your wife and your children. You that have children at home, you're lucky. You're reminded every day that they're there. Those of us whose children are gone and are far away have to think about them. And I've found that if I'm not careful, I get so caught up in the things that I have to do that I don't take the time to think about my son, my daughter, my mom, my dad, Debbie's mom, Debbie's dad. And I think we ought to have it on our schedule. I think we ought to have an appointment with ourselves to say, and I think you all ought to have an appointment. Brother Earl, I think you ought to have on your calendar an appointment. Here's a half hour on Tuesday morning. I'm going to think about Millie. That's what I'm going to do. And Millie, you ought to have on your calendar a certain time on Thursday morning. I'm going to think about Earl. And remember them. And do what Paul said. Thank God for them. Now that word remembrance conveys another thought. The third thing is that when you remember them, tell somebody something good about them. That's what the word remembrance in that verse means. You go back and you study the Greek. It's to remember something good about that person and then tell somebody else that good that you remember. I was talking to somebody yesterday afternoon, Bev, about you. And we were remembering you and thinking about your surgery. And that person said, she has a great faith. A tough faith. That's what this verse is talking about. When we remember on purpose, not by accident. I have a guy at work that I eat lunch with every now and then. He always brings his lunch. And he has probably the best lunch that I ever seen anybody bring to work. And every time he sets down, he brings it in a lunchbox. It reminds me of a lunchbox that I had in school. Not one of the big ones, but like a little square lunchbox. Every time he opens his lunch, he says, "My wife made me lunch today." I mean, and it's really good. I mean, sometimes he goes over to the microwave and warms it up, and I lust after his lunch. I said, "Boy, I wish I had that." I know you're not supposed to lust, but I mean, it smells so good. But every time I eat with him, he opens his little lunchbox, said, "My wife made me this lunch. I have such a good wife." He's doing what that verse said. He's remembering, and then he's telling somebody about that person. So, if you want to be close to somebody, serve them. You want to be close to somebody, have a set time to remember them. You want to be close to somebody, as you remember them, tell somebody else something good about them. Number four, pray for them. In verse 4, Paul says, "Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy." You know, if we're not careful, most of our praying for other people will be to correct something. They'll be sick, and we'll pray that they get well. They're facing surgery, and we pray that the Lord will be with them and get them through that surgery. They've gotten off track, and we pray that the Lord will put them back on track. And I think what Paul's saying in this verse, you want to be close to somebody, then you remember to pray for them, and your prayer is that they have a good day. That they have joy in their life today. No problem to fix. Well, maybe there is problems, and you ought to pray for the problem. No health concern to pray about. Maybe there is, and you ought to pray for that. But there ought to be a time when you pray for folks, and you just say, "Lord, help this person to have a good day today. Let their day be filled with goodness and joy." And that'll make you close. Number 5. This was the best one. I couldn't wait to get to this one. Number 5. You want to be close to somebody? Then believe in them. Believe in them. Paul said in verse 6, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." You know what? God is still working on us. He's not done with us yet. And this verse says that he's working in us to do a good work. And Paul says, "I'm confident that the God who started this good work in you will finish it, will complete it until the day of the Lord Jesus." Now, if God in heaven can believe in you and can believe in me, and if God in heaven is not going to give up on you and not going to give up on me, And if God in heaven inspired the Apostle Paul to say, hey, I'm confident that God is going to finish the work in your life, then I ought to believe in you too. And you ought to believe in each other. And you ought to believe in me. You see, I think too many times, too often, and too quickly, we give up on people. We say, boy, they messed up. There ain't no way they can recover. And we just write them off. God never wrote anybody off. God's still working on people. I mean, we are going to mess up because we're human. We're going to fail. And we're going to make mistakes. But I'm glad we got a God of the second chance and the third chance and the fourth chance. I'm glad that we got a God who believes in us and will keep working that good work in us until he gets it done. And we ought to believe in each other. I think too many times we give up too quickly on our kids. They disobey and we punish them. They disobey and we punish them. They disobey and we punish them. And we say, boy, there's no hope for this kid. And we give up. Don't give up. Stay with it. Train up a child in a way that he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. You say, oh, brother, Darrell, you don't know my kid. No, you don't know God. You're not being patient enough with him. Don't give up on him. Don't quit praying for him. I think kids sometimes too quickly give up on their parents. And I think we need to believe in one another. God started a good work in you. This verse says he will finish it. So let's believe in one another. And then number 6. You want to be close to somebody? Then find a job that you can do with them and do it together. Paul said in verse 7, ye are all partakers or sharers of my grace. He says, we're in this together. We're in it together. You want to be close to your spouse? Then find a job you can do together. Find many jobs that you can do together. I think one of the greatest things that has broken up homes is dishwashers. If I had my way, nobody would have ever invented the automatic dishwasher. I can remember some of the best times that I had with my mom when we were standing at the sink together. She was washing and I was drying, or vice versa. I can remember some of the best times that we talked about things that was going on in my life was when we were doing dishes together. Now what do? You just put them in the, you have to scrape all the stuff off, put them in the dishwasher, push the button, and the water comes out and the soap comes out. And you miss that time. Now, I'm not saying you ought to, if you're going to go home and throw something away, throw your TV away. I think there's more harm comes from that than there is from dishwashers. But what I'm saying is, you ought to find a task or a job that you can work together on. Same thing with your kids. You got to find a job that you could do together. I know when Dave and I were working on the air conditioner, we had good times. We fellowshiped together. We had a good time. And we got closer because we worked together. And that's what Paul's saying. You want to be close? You want to be closer? And again, I think this will work for everybody. I think this will work for anybody in your life that you want to be closer to. Is to do these 6 little things. Find a job that you can do together. Believe in them. Pray for them. Remember them. And when you remember them, tell somebody about them. And be a servant. And you'll find that if you'll do those 6 things, God will knit your hearts together. And you'll have them in your heart, just like Paul had the Philippians. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the blessed truth of this book. Thank you that you make it not only salvation so simple, but thank you that you make it so simple how we're to order our lives and conduct our lives. And I pray tonight that we would give heed to the Scripture, we give heed to the instruction that we get from the Scripture, and that we would be doers of the word, not just hearers only. Father, I pray tonight, if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, they would be obedient to the gospel. Help them see themselves as a sinner. Help them see the penalty for that sin. Help them see Jesus going to the cross and paying that penalty in their place. And tonight, Father, as the Holy Spirit speaks to them, as the Holy Spirit does in their life, what I can't do, what no other person can do here tonight, only the Holy Spirit can draw that lost sinner to a Savior. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, if there's one under the sound of my voice that's never received Christ, I pray tonight you would work in that life and you would bring them to Christ. Bless the invitation. Help us to be obedient. If there's things that we need to do, help us to do it. And we'll give Jesus all the glory. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.